Gavin is a 19-year-old college student who has had a whirlwind of life these past 2 years, ever since he said yes to following God. Raised in a family without a Christian foundation, Gavin dealt with years of his childhood without a father, and then parents who later decided to separate and move to a new province. During high school, he became a Christian after someone planted a seed, and it seems like an oak tree of faith has grown overnight. Listen in as he relates his experiences and the new passion he has for living a life for Christ. Hello, I'm Rebecca Robinson, your host for the More to Life podcast in West Kelowna. Stories of people's lives have always fascinated me, and I believe they're one of the best gifts we can give. Our testimonies on how God delivers us through challenges or dark places inevitably gives hope and can help others see a light at the end of their tunnel. Join me as I interview varied guests who bravely tell their stories for us to be encouraged by. And we're back for another interview for There's More to Life podcast. And today we have Gavin, who has just completed his first year at Summit College. And he's going to share his testimony with us today. Gavin, if you wouldn't mind starting back to when, you know, tell us where you're from and when you were born and your background.
Yeah, I'm a dual citizen. So I was born in Denver, Colorado. Grew up there. I grew up mainly with my mom because my birth dad, he split away at a young age. And so never really saw him a whole lot. But I would be around my family and you know, my grandparents and stuff there. And then I think it was around 2010, 2011, my mom met my stepdad, who I call my dad. And that's because he worked at NORAD at the base there in Colorado.
What's NORAD? What does that stand for?
NORAD is the... what is it called?
Sorry.
I forget the acronym for it, but it's basically the intelligence base there, Air Force Base.
Okay.
Or not Air Force Base, but it's the intelligence base. It's inside of the Cheyenne Mountain there.
Okay, wow.
So it's like really bunkered down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he worked there for a little bit, and then they met. And they got married, and then we moved to Canada in 2014.
What prompted that?
He got a posting to Trenton, Ontario. So after we decided, hey, this is a good family, and they decided, hey, let's get married, we moved to Ontario and got all of our immigration stuff figured out.
Do you have any siblings or?
Yeah, I have my brother Isaac and my sister Angel, but she lives with my grandparents in Colorado still. Hmm. She's either 26 or 27, and she has a daughter. Her name is Delilah. She is 3 years old now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Delilah is very cute.
So you moved with Isaac and your
I
parents.
Moved with Isaac and my mom and dad. And so we lived in Ontario from 2014 till 2020. Throughout this entire time, I haven't been a Christian yet. Mm-hmm. So
what was your childhood like? Like, how long were you living with just a single mom or?
I lived probably from the age of 2 or 3 till about 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. Without a dad. So pretty significant amount of my childhood. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then when my stepdad came in, things were pretty stable and things were pretty good. But of course, him being in the military and the nature of his work, we started to see, you know, PTSD and stuff like that, and just mental things, and also physical health being something that affects him. And ultimately affected all of us, because he would have coughing fits and stuff. And it just kind of became a normal thing for our family to see him like cough so much that he has to sit down.
Wow.
Um, Yeah. And then later, like later into living in Ontario, when he was starting to go through the worst of it, they had him up on a bunch of like medications and stuff that made him not quite there and not quite, you know, checked in. Mm-hmm. So it was hard to live like that, where now it's like, I have my mom, I have my dad, but my dad's not quite there. So that prompted some stuff between my mom and dad that made things rocky for them. So when we moved out to the Okanagan in 2020, they ended up not buying a house together. My mom bought a house short of here, like 5 minutes away. And then my dad bought a condo. And so we still live 5 minutes apart, but they bought separate places. And then from there, it quickly became apparent that they weren't going to be together, but I was still going to have my dad and my mom.
Right.
So then with the, you know, with the reality of that and the stability that I thought I had falling, you know, I started to feel a lot more down and depressed. And so there was some other things that happened. Like I had a very bad relationship thing with someone, and
before you moved to
this was Kelowna, while I was living in Ontario, or not in Ontario. This was while I'm living in the Okanagan.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would have been the summer of 2022, mm-hmm. just before I became a Christian, because that it was actually that person that I had an interesting relationship with. They led me to God because they were like they were rocky in their faith, but they still led me to God because they were like, they read their Bible and stuff, but they didn't quite have a good relationship with God at that moment. But it still brought me to God.
It was still their foundation. Yeah. It was a seed planted for
you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then from there, I was like, okay, I want to find a church. And in finding a church, my mom and I were looking around at different churches in the area, and we were gonna check out one other church. And this is the funny story, because that church, their parking was full, and my mom was like, actually, there's this other church that I was looking at last night, let's go check it out. And so we went to Emmanuel.
And so was your mom a Christian?
She was a Christian as a child and as a young adult, but because of my birth dad and the stuff that he did in the church and the stuff that other people did in the church, she fell away from it because there was a lot of church hurt and right. things like that that she just doesn't sit well with now.
Right.
But I think having her see me and my journey and the church that I go to, you know, being Emmanuel, and the experience that I've had, she's starting to realize that there's a lot more good in the church than there was before, mm-hmm. or at least where she was before in Colorado. So I'm hoping that's going to help.
Recognizing that humans, wherever they're at, whether in church or out of church, can still hurt others and hurt people. But
I'm hoping that throughout my journey, it's going to show her the good side and the side that I'm really starting to see. And so, yeah, I hope that could be a change for her.
So you had the full parking lot and you left and you came here.
And so my first Sunday here was really cool. I quickly found out that one of my neighbors went here as well. So figuring out that my neighbor goes here and figuring out that Margo goes here as well was cool, because she introduced herself to us when we moved to that neighborhood, and seeing her here was cool. because it's like, oh, my neighbors are here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a welcoming place.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think it was a Sunday that Caleb was doing something in the foyer. So at that same Sunday, I got connected in with the youth group and then started going to youth. Mm-hmm. And
so I'll just stop you. So just in case people that are listening don't know who these people are, Margo works for the church and she works at administration. And Caleb has been the youth pastor for a few years now. So you were involved in youth and Pastor Caleb. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah. After meeting Caleb and being introduced to the youth group, I think it took about one or two different youth nights until we got to one particular night where it was the first time that we were doing worship and our entire youth night in the auditorium, because this was during a transition period where we stopped using the then chapel but now gathering room. We were in the auditorium and we did a worship night, and it was on that night that I can say that I first met God, which is a really cool experience looking back on, because there was a youth leader, James Duncan. He's a very integral part of my first experience with God, because throughout the message and throughout the worship, I just felt like a tug and felt like a God wanting to do a move and a transformative work in my heart. And so throughout the entire night, I'm like so moved to tears. And so I go to the back of the auditorium and I'm just sitting there crying. And then James comes over, and in that moment, I didn't know what this feeling was, but now I can say that when James put his hand on my back, it's like God's hand on my life.
Wow.
And it was a really cool experience, because it wasn't a crying of like sadness. It was a crying of like release of all of the things that I have piled up in my life over a span of years, just all gone in one moment. And from that point onwards, life started to get better and better, and the dark nights and the sad nights and all that just started to decrease. And so from that moment, I started to engage in the youth group and engage in church and all that stuff. And I quickly got involved with worship at youth and played drums, shared my testimony, I think a few months after being in the youth group. And then it was the Easter Sunday of 2023 that I got baptized. And then from there...
What was that experience like for you?
It was a really cool experience, because my family came out, my mom, my dad, my brother, and my mom's friends. They all came out, watched me get baptized, and then we had a lunch afterwards. And it was cool, because they're like, all right, why don't you go and pray for the food? And I was like, okay, cool. I'll do that. So yeah, that was a cool experience. It was a cool day. And even from that day onwards, I can say that there was a new stage kind of thing.
Like a new hope, a new peace as well, or...
Yeah, because I could confidently say that from that Sunday onwards, I live in a hope and a state that is like, no matter what goes on in life, no matter what challenges come my way, I know that God builds a way through it and leads me through, either the valley or the highest mountaintop or whatever.
And now you're planting the seed within your family as well, right?
Yeah.
With your brother, have you talked about it with him more, or has he?
Yeah, I've talked about my faith with him. I've brought him to youth a bunch of times within my time as a youth in the youth group here. I brought my brother, I brought my friend from school, and I brought a few friends from school. And so I don't think, for the most part, the friends that I did bring, they didn't have quite an instant connection, but it's a seed planted, and so I pray that it does a work in their lives at some point. But my close friend Justin, I've been working with him and just showing him my faith and what I do a lot. Now that I'm back from my first year at Summit, because before, when I was at youth, I would bring him along and I would have him just see what I'm doing, you know? I'm playing drums, I'm sharing my testimony. Oh, and I forgot to mention that while I was at youth, I got an opportunity after one of the youth conferences, YG, to preach a sermon on a youth night.
Oh, wow.
And so Caleb coached me through that.
Amazing,
And taught me, you know, some things that I can do to create a sermon and preach a sermon. So, yeah, throughout this entire time of being a youth, I brought my friend Justin. He was really loving it. And then throughout the summer, I don't think a whole lot happened. I mean, I still brought him to different youth events like beach nights and stuff like that. But not a lot of things happened. And then I went off to Summit for a year and had a lot of cool experiences.
Tell us about your year. What shaped you there?
Yeah. I did the 1 year program that does worship and all things music and tech.
Hmm.
So I learned a lot about sound design. I learned a lot about media. I learned more about camera stuff, but I'm also a photographer and videographer, so I knew a lot about cameras going into this. But learning a lot about the tech side of worship was cool because it is building up on my skills that I already have. You know, I know how to play in a worship band, but now I know how to use the tech in a worship band. So academically, that was really cool because it was learning a lot of stuff that I enjoy to do. Socially and other experiences wise, Wednesday chapels were always a fun one because I was playing drums on a chapel team. And just the friend group that I had, it was a blessing. It was an answered prayer because I had a community around me daily that we're all striving to know God more and that we're all building each other up. And so since I don't live in a Christian household, it's very nice to live in a Christian community where everybody's going towards the same thing, where everybody's trying to pursue God and trying to learn more and grow in their faith. And so it was a very good growth period of just surrounding myself with good community. And I saw, you know, one of my friends get physically healed on a worship night, which that was a really cool experience in itself because we, like, as a community, there was a bunch of us and we were all just praying over her. And through like an hour and a half of prayer, her ankle got healed. And she went from not being able to jump around too much to jumping around and like praising God, and it was such a cool experience that night.
So since you've become a Christian, you have really
had a lot of experiences
in the last couple of years.
Yeah,
since that one little seed is planted, and I think that's such an encouragement for us because often we don't see the impact of planting a seed that is definitely able to grow and flourish, and God has blessed you with those kinds of experiences so quickly.
Yeah,
it's like a high speed entry.
It's very much like a, you know, as soon as I met God, life ramped upwards and I was just doing a bunch of stuff. And then, you know, the summer season kind of went down mellow, but then back at Summit it just ramps up.
Right.
And, you know, I do all these things, and I also helped out at a youth group at a local church there called APA. And I got to lead worship there and run a worship team and work with youth, which is my calling. You know, I feel led to work with the youth. And so what I want to do with my knowledge of worship and my knowledge of tech, I want to then this next fall go back to Summit and go into the youth leadership program. And so I want to take these two skills of knowing how to run worship and knowing about how to run a youth group and knowing, you know, I know about social media and know how to make content and all that stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I want to put all these skills together to reach youth where they are on their phones and create an atmosphere of worship that is engaging, and then create a youth group that is engaging, and just really start to, you know, put all those skills together.
That sounds amazing. In all of this learning that you're doing, has there been somebody alongside you as a mentor or someone that's guided you through your own spiritual growth, or someone at Summit that maybe outside of the tech worship aspect that, you know, is your teacher?
Yeah, I'd say people that I really look up to, and specifically one person, I'd say is my youth pastor here, mm-hmm. Caleb. Mm-hmm. He's been a really big, example and mentor of mine, because all throughout my time at the youth group, I came in as a grade 12 and only had 1 year as a youth. And within that 1 year, I had the craziest ramp up of experiences. Mm-hmm. And he was there alongside to coach me through it all and, you know, helped me prepare my testimony and to share it, and then helped me to prepare the sermon and to share it. And as I'm, you know, getting ready to graduate and end the year and go off to Summit, he's like, yeah, this is, you know, I did a similar thing. I went to Summit for a year around your age and then realized, hey, I want to go back to Summit and do more stuff. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm going through Summit, I'm talking to people like Caleb, and I lost my train of thought. the campus pastor at Summit, Gavin Briscoe, he's another influence of mine, because he was Caleb's youth pastor in Chilliwack, I think. Mm-hmm. So having this connection
one to the other.
Gavin was Caleb's youth pastor, now Caleb was Gavin's youth pastor. So it's like the running joke between us three is, oh, will Gavin be a youth pastor to another Caleb, and will the chain of Gavins and Calebs continue?
Yeah, that is funny. But so, another blessing, right?
Clearly.
Yeah, for your life. I wanted to ask what you've learned about who God is. We tend, or can tend, to attribute the characteristics of our earthly fathers to God, which is why a lot of people don't want to turn to God or trust God, because they have a different experience of a father figure. And I'm just wondering, have you struggled with that, or have you dealt with that kind of how you see God?
I don't think I have, really, because I know that, like, my stepdad, who I call dad, hit the mic. he's really good. He's there for me. So within that way, I never had an issue to just trust God. Mm-hmm. And because of the nature of my story, things just started happening, and you know, I started to trust God more. And I really went into learning about God head first and just diving right in, mm-hmm. because I was at a point in my life where I was like, okay, it's God or nothing. Right. So I just went head on into it and really didn't think about, oh, you know, if there's any doubt in my mind about mm-hmm. who God is. I really just went for it. Mm-hmm. And even in moments now where I'm like, okay, God, you know, I know these things are coming my way, and you've got blessings and plans for my life and all this stuff, even in the midst of my, you know, what's the word I'm trying to think of? In the midst of my lack of patience, I know that God is still working and training me to be more patient and wait for the gifts and the blessings that he has in the future, because he has them at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never really had a big struggle with that, because I've just trusted God right from the start, kind of thing.
It never kept you from a relationship with him.
Yeah,
definitely. No, I can see that. That's excellent. And who would you say that Jesus is to you now? I mean, you would be kind of brought up with him as a, you knew of him as a child, correct? Because of your mom's
sort of going to church. As a young kid, I never went to church consistently or at all. There was like times in my life as a child that I would go to church because there was a family friend going to church, or because I just found myself there because of other family. So there was like little aspects of, oh, here's God, within my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom also brought me up with good morals. Like she taught me good morals of what would come from Christian values.
Right.
But I never really grew up with the, oh, that's the connection kind of thing.
Right. And so Jesus to you now would be?
Yeah, Jesus to me now would be my savior, the one who pulled me out of the depths of, you know, the depression that I was in and brought me into a new light.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a few like little pictures in my wallet from doing youth, and in like a more, we had like a small group kind of thing, and we did these pictures where we had to pick out where we are in our faith. And so one of the first ones I picked, I'm pretty sure it was a hand with a sparkler coming out of the water.
Hmm.
And so I always attribute that to, at that moment, you know, I was feeling like, okay, God has really brought me out of the waters, the depths of the past that I lived in. And the sparkler was me raising up and being like, hey, this is the faith that I now have, and I'm so excited to grow in it.
Hmm. That's really beautiful. It's nice to have that reminder. Yeah, I love that image. And so God has definitely placed a calling on your heart to pursue pastoring. And I had a interview with Pastor Jeff, and he mentioned that one of the things that keeps him up at night, literally, is how do we get more youth interested and called towards being pastors, because it is a declining number. So can you describe your calling or what you felt drew you?
Yeah. So the way of how that happened was, I thought I was going to be a pilot beforehand.
Oh.
So things turned 180 real fast. I grew up from like age 12 till I guess 17 or 18 thinking I'm going to be a pilot. And I was doing air cadets, and all throughout my time of air cadets, I thought I was learning a lot about planes because I was going to be a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I was learning a lot about leadership at the same time. And so through cadets, I raised up in the ranks. I got to be a warrant officer second class and the squadron commander of my squadron before I ended my time at cadets.
Right.
And that leadership skills that I learned within cadets and the faith that I started to build at youth really started to like weave themselves together in a cool way, because when I went to YG 2 years ago as a grade 12, at that point I thought, okay, I'm still going to be a pilot, but I don't quite want to do this. And I guess I would have been 18 at that point, because I am 19 now.
This time has flown for you. So.
Yeah, there's been a lot that's happened.
It feels like more, yeah.
Yeah. So what I was saying is at this point, I didn't know exactly where I was going to be, you know, and I hadn't really thought, like, I've put some thought into Summit and thought it was a really cool place to go because I went to the MORE conference that is takes place at Summit. And I thought that was a really cool experience. This campus is awesome. And so I talked to my mom and said, hey, can I go there? And she's like, no, you're not going to Bible College. She like straight up flat answer, no. And that was like, okay, interesting. Hmm. But throughout a few months of talking to her and having, you know, extended family talk to her, who also had have a faith background, is actually my grandma, Bonnie, from my birth dad's side. She's the one that's been really helping out a lot with my journey of going to Summit, both in my mom's decision to support me going there, but also my grandma's financially supporting me to go there, which is a huge blessing and one of the reasons why I still know Summit is the place that I'm called to go, because it's really, it's the blessing of her financial support that's shown to me, hey, I'm meant to be there.
Yeah. And what does your mom think about it all now that you've had
She supports me. Yeah. She helped me move in at the starting of the semester last year. And she helped me move back here for the summer. And I'm sure she'll help my journey back there in the fall. But yeah, she's very supportive of it now. She can see that it's worth my time and that I really enjoy doing it and that it's something I'm passionate about. And those were the compelling arguments from my grandma to her that, you know, my grandma saw I'm very passionate about this and it's something that I love to do.
Yeah.
And so my mom's like, okay, I guess if it's something he's passionate about, then it's worth not stepping in his way.
Mm-hmm. It's not a passing fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I never got to the point of the YG thing, but it was at YG that I really started to feel called to Summit. Because it was more that got me interested in Summit, but it was the YG conference that was like, okay, what if I just go to Summit? What if I'm called there? And within the first week and a half of being at Summit, it became extremely apparent that I was supposed to be there.
Hmm.
Because there was a bunch of like just circles of Bible study that we did, and there was one particular one that I remember the most. There was 20 of us. We were all sitting around a picnic table doing a Bible study, and we read a piece of scripture. We went around the circle. Everybody said their thoughts about it, what they thought God was speaking to them. And myself, I had a lot to, like, God had a lot to speak through me when people were saying things. And in the middle of this Bible study, everybody there was like, are you in a pastoral program? And if you're not in a pastoral program, you should be.
Oh, that's amazing.
So right from the get-go, it was like, wow, okay, I'm meant to be here.
Yeah.
And at the moment, I thought, okay, am I in the wrong program? Should I switch from being in the music program to being in the pastoral program? But throughout the rest of that semester, I figured out, okay, I meant to go through this year and then go through the youth pastor program after.
Excellent. So what a wonderful confirmation for you within weeks of starting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was quite apparent to me, like, instantly that this is the place I'm meant to be.
Yeah. That's amazing. Good story. And so you mentioned a bit what brought you to Emmanuel. For other people that are listening, we have a large youth program here, and I'm sure there's lots of youth visiting that, you know, come from the same kind of situation as you. Maybe they're just have that little seed. Maybe they had kind of some input in their life. What kind of encouragement would you say to them? Because you were in a place of, you know, like you mentioned, just really sad at night and depressed and in a place that you just didn't want that to carry on forever.
Yeah.
So somebody that might be in that place that you were at, what would you say to them?
I would say, and this is something that I've said a lot of times when sharing my testimony, is just go for it. Hmm. Just throw whatever you know and head for God. Because that's kind of the attitude that I had about it, is it was God or nothing, because I knew that the cycle of, you know, sitting at my computer at night, just wasting my thoughts away and my, you know, my time just sitting there basically zombie-like at my computer,
like we say.
Doom scrolling, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew that that was not going to lead to anything good. And so I decided, it's God or nothing, because I know that this life that I'm living right now is not one that I want to live. So, yeah, from there I just decided, hey, you know.
You got swept up, yeah.
Go for God, because if I put my full attention towards God, and if I give my full effort towards God, then it'll surely come back to bless my life and really start to grow within me, because mm-hmm. you know, it's I forget what I'm trying to say. We have to change inwards for us to change outwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, hey, if I want to have a change in my life, God is surely that change. And so he changed within me, and then my life outwardly changed.
Yeah. And what about what you would say to someone who's also kind of now in that place, but is maybe not taking the leap towards baptism? What was the difference for you, or why did you do it when you did it?
Well, I mean, it was pretty short after, you know, becoming a Christian that I got baptized, and I thought, okay, if I'm really going to live this life for God, I want to make it public. I want to know, like, I want people to know that this is how I'm living now and that I'm unashamed of it. Even now, like, I have a bunch of clothing that represents God and shows my faith. And, you know, I'm thinking of, like, other things that I could do that represents my faith. And so, yeah, I think it's just a step of letting people know this is how you're going to live, and that you're unashamed about it, and that you're really just doing it because you want to share God's love to the world because of what he's done in your life.
Mm-hmm. Excellent response. Yeah, that pretty much is it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what Bible verse did you pick today to share with us that has had an impact on you and your journey?
I would say it's Matthew 7:24-25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And I choose that because it's the verse that I put in my original written testimony that I shared on the youth night. And I still think it applies to this day, because I've decided, hey, I'm going to choose that foundation on the rock, because I know no matter what goes on in my life, no matter what trials may happen at, you know, because I work at Save-On, no matter what trials happen at Save-On and the stuff that I'm going through there, or no matter what happens within living at home, or no matter what happens within my friend group, I know that God is still the one who saved my life. And I know that God is still the one who will do it again and do it again and do it again mm-hmm. and do it again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
The rock that is not moved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's an excellent verse too. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the listeners or that I haven't asked you?
Really, all it is just, if you want to pursue God, pursue him 100%, because you, and I've heard this a lot recently, is you can't be 1 foot here and 1 foot there, which means you can't be on the wide path and you can't be on the narrow path. You have to choose God, or you choose the world. And what God has for you is a lot better, because when you put yourself into God, He puts back into your life. And so for the people who are teetering those lines, I'd say go full on God, because you're gonna reap the benefits of just trusting God with your life so much more than you are having your foot in the world. Because when you have your foot in both, you get the worst of both.
I think you have a great future as a pastor. And just thank you so much for talking with me today, and I hope this podcast blesses the listeners.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gavin.